Financial Empowerment, a production of the California Society of CPAs and CalCPA Institute. I'm Bill Spaniel. The death of a spouse is a traumatic experience, both emotionally and financially. Regarding financial issues, the survivor must deal with such items as insurance, Social Security, investments, not to mention handling bills that are due. Joe Framson, a CPA as well as a personal financial specialist, frequently works with widows and widowers. In a Skype interview, we ask him about the major financial decisions surviving spouses must make.
Hello, Joel. Welcome to Financial Empowerment.
Thank you, Bill. It's good to be here.
Our topic is key decisions widows and widowers need to make upon the passing of a spouse. That's obviously a traumatic time. Other than funeral arrangements, what are some of the major decisions the surviving spouse needs to make, and how soon should those decisions be made?
Well, that may sound like a simple question, Bill, but actually it's a very loaded, complicated question, because very early on, when the spouse passes, there's often a feeling of being overwhelmed with all the decisions that have to be made. I picture almost like a bubble chart in my head with like 8 or 10 or 20 little thoughts going on all at the same time that really become very difficult to manage. And so that's really part of the first issues that happen, is that feeling of overwhelmed and the feeling of somewhat being numb, being frozen, being unable to make those decisions on what has to be done. And so, you know, at first, it's really good to recognize that this is normal. It's very, very common to have these feelings, because you're moving from a stage in your life where things are stable, your relationship, you know, is good, and now there's all of a sudden this ending that may be abrupt, may have taken some time to happen, but in any case, it's a numbing kind of experience. And before you can get to what you call the new normal, there are going to be a lot of stages in between, and it's really important to know that you don't have to do it alone.
Understandably, it's an emotional time. At some point, they have to make decisions about their lifestyle, their financial resources, things of that nature. What are some of the areas the surviving spouse needs to focus on, and how soon should that happen?
Many of the people in my study group have gone through a training called Financial Transition, life training. Mm-hmm. And it came out of neuroscience, neuropsychology. What it says is that as you enter this new phase and you have all these decisions to make, it's good to be able to prioritize them and to name them, because otherwise they're sort of amorphous. They're in your head. You don't know exactly, you know, how you're going to deal with them. So very often what we want to do is to have a way to create a now, a soon, and a later list. Let's name the things. By naming the things that have to be done right away, it's a little bit reassuring, not quite as overwhelming. And the point of the exercise is to determine exactly what you're asking. What things need to be done now? There are all kinds of issues, financial issues, personal issues, that need to be addressed. But immediately, because of that nature of being overwhelmed very often, you want to determine what you have to do now. You have to pay your mortgage, for example. You lose your house if you don't pay your mortgage. So we want to identify those things that absolutely have to be done right away. It might be the burial issues. It might be how you're going to get people to your house, or what relatives you need to help you, you know, with organizing what you're going to need immediately in your house. That's really the first important step, is to determine what you have to do. The other things can be done pretty soon. You're eventually going to have to redo estate planning. You'll have to look into insurances. You'll have to do a number of things with possibly your CPA, with your investments. All those things can be put onto the to-do list, and we like to color code them. Let's color code them, because graphically, when we create this list and print it out, if it's color coded, for many people, it's much easier to grasp it, because many people are visual rather than, you know, listening to what I have to say in terms of the priorities. And so creating that visual usually is very important.
Let me backtrack a bit. You're talking about a group you belong to. My audience is not familiar with it, so could you give us some more background?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Coming out of an organization called the Sudden Money Institute, they created a platform and a curriculum program for those of us that do financial planning, most of us are very left-brain. We're detailed-oriented kind of people. You know, we like spreadsheets, and we like to talk about solutions. Somebody comes in, and our job very often is to, okay, you got a problem here, I'm going to solve it. But too often, the personal side of the equation is missing in that left-brained approach. We need to focus, especially after a traumatic experience like this, on the personal side of financial planning. And so what this curriculum has done is to form a way to create this bridge between recognizing the personal emotional issues that happen with a financial transition and eventually will lead to the technical solutions. But it recognizes that very often there's a lot of feelings that go on with many things, whether it's a divorce, sometimes a sale of a business. There are a lot of things that cause stress in that relationship, in that stage. And stress impairs cognitive ability. We know that from psychologists. And so what we want to be able to do is focus first on that personal side of the equation before we even have to deal with the technical side. We'll deal with the technical side as we have to, you know, based on the issues that I just mentioned. But the personal side at first is the most important, and that's what this particular curriculum has focused on. And we've gone through it for 3 years now. It leads to a certification, financial transition certification, and people that have gone through that really understand what widows are going through on the emotional side and then can help counsel them both on those emotional issues as well as the financial issues.
Okay, and what are some of the financial issues they need to be aware of?
First of all, where are the bank accounts? Mm-hmm. What's in the safe deposit box? Some people have never been to that safe deposit box. Some people have relied on the other spouse to do the financial issues in the family. That's not uncommon. And so you are now required to step up and be knowledgeable about everything from, gosh, passwords for bank accounts. What's on automatic payment? What's not on automatic payment? Mm-hmm. What bills have to be paid immediately? Those kind of issues are right up front in terms of what somebody has to go through. And eventually, you know, you can look into the insurance policies. Who are the beneficiaries? What does the will say or the living trust say as far as disposing of assets? Some people may give bequests at that point, children, possibly friends. Those are financial issues that all need to be dealt with.
Nowadays, so much of our records are in digital format. How can you get access to those records, especially if you don't know the passwords of the spouse who's passed away?
That becomes very difficult. And, you know, if we have time before spouse passes, it's always good to have a family member, for example. In my case, I use my son. You know, so if anything ever happened to me, my son knows all the passwords. He knows about our safe deposit box. He knows about key insurance policies. I printed up a whole list for him of mm-hmm. where the bank accounts are, you know, what the logins are, what the passwords for other accounts are. So if you have time, as you're going through this process of losing your spouse, I definitely recommend finding a trusted family member that your spouse can leave these things with. And mm-hmm. lacking that, if you know the spouse passes before you get a chance to do that, then it becomes very difficult. It may or may not be necessary to get into those passwords because you can always set up new ones after that. But you know, you may need some kind of an IT specialist to try to help figure out almost to hack the computer. You know, sounds odd, but you know, some people can do that very easily and get into those passwords.
It may seem routine for someone who frequently advises clients on these topics, but how does one go about canceling credit cards and Social Security payments and claiming life insurance benefits?
Each step should have some kind of a written plan, because you're going to need mm-hmm. to organize all these things, as I said, not leave them all in your brain rattling around and conflicting with each other. So you sit down, you make a list of what has to be done, who's going to do what, because you may have family members that can help. And you try to keep it in bite-sized formats, because if you have a small thing that you can tackle, that's much less overwhelming than to have several large tasks. So I mm-hmm. think to have somebody helping in those would be really helpful.
If the survivor is not the primary breadwinner, I would imagine where her income is coming from would be high on her list of concerns. How do you advise clients in that area?
Right. That is a big fear at that point, because for the spouse that hasn't been the financially oriented spouse, they are definitely not going to know what's going on. If they haven't done a financial plan with a financial planner in the past, it gets even more difficult. If they have had a financial plan and are working with a financial planner, and I would say hopefully a CPA financial planner, they'll have some basis for knowing what will happen in the future, because that financial plan will help to create a roadmap. It'll look at where things are today, where are the assets, what are the assets, and then from there, how do I make sure that I'm not going to run out of money in the long run over the course of my lifespan, which may be today easily to 90 or 95 years old. And so that financial plan becomes the basis and the roadmap for making a lot of financial decisions. Should I sell my house? Should I stay where I am? What happens with goals that I've set with my spouse before? Do I need to change those goals that we had? At what point am I going to feel like taking a vacation again? Because right now, you know, I may not want to even think about those kind of fun things. So the financial plan and working with a planner, I think, really helps make sure that you understand and you're empowered. I think that's the biggest word, is to be empowered, to know that going forward, you're going to be okay, and you have somebody in your corner to help look at the financial issues and to really help you with them.
When we think of a widow or widower, we likely think of someone who is elderly. But sometimes a widow or widower is fairly young and has children. Is there any difference in how you work with young widows and widowers compared with how you work with seniors who've lost a spouse?
You know, it actually is very similar for a younger widow as for an older widow. Because the emotional issues are pretty much the same. They may be a little different because a younger widow may have children that are being raised. You know, so now rather than having a two-parent household or a one-parent household, a lot more pressure on that surviving parent. So there are some nuances like that to deal with. But the bigger picture issues are still the same. I think in each camp, younger or older, the widow has to know that it's okay not to get everything done immediately, not to rush forward to doing things that may feel uncomfortable at the time. It could take both younger and older widows anywhere from 2 to 7 years, generally the neuroscience of it tells us, before they get back to what we call that new normal. And that's a fairly long period. You know, some people feel guilt, they feel grief, and it's okay. You know, I've had clients that have lost their spouse both in their 40s and in their 60s. And, you know, some of them have taken up to 7 years before they get over enough of it, because they never get over it completely, but at least get over enough of it that they feel like they can move forward with their life, that maybe they can meet another person and create a new relationship. If they're younger, maybe get married. If they're older and don't want to get married, then at least they have a partner. Everybody needs a thinking partner, you know, whether it's us as certified financial transitionists or whether it's a life partner. Everybody needs somebody to help them think through the issues, because they previously had that life partner, that thinking partner, and now that's changed. And I think having that thinking partner is very important.
One of the things I'm sure that survivors are concerned about is being victims of scams. People who are out to get some of their money during their time of grief. How do you advise clients so that they don't become victims of fraudsters?
It's a big problem. And I think because they are somewhat often naive on the financial affairs, you're right. They can be taken advantage of very easily by people that are trying to scam them. Again, having a thinking partner is really critical. So if you're not all that financially savvy and you can recognize that up front, or if you're already working with a financial planner that can help you think through those things, it's very important to be able to have somebody who is financially savvy help you decipher the things that may be approaching you, whether it's, oh gosh, something like, do I do a reverse mortgage on my home? Because this guy's calling me, I should do a reverse mortgage. Do you need a reverse mortgage? If you have somebody that's a thinking partner, you know, a CPA, financial planner, they'll help you think through those things. You don't have to do it alone. You don't have to feel overwhelmed that you have to make a decision on these things right away. And we often talk about what we call a decision-free zone. That means that of all the things that you're going to have to decide on, at some point, especially early on after the loss of a spouse, you should have the ability to create a decision-free zone. You're going to have possibly money to manage. You're going to have money coming in from insurance or other things, Social Security that you mentioned before. And so sometimes it's best to have that decision-free zone to say, look, I'm not going to make a decision on any of these things right now. It's okay if I don't. I may take a year before I think about reinvesting money or even tackling the money issues. And that is very normal, and it's okay. And I think from the standpoint of avoiding scams, if you think about having that decision-free zone and you tell people, nope, I'm not making decisions right now. Nope, I need to consult with my financial planner. It'll go a long way to avoiding those scams.
Thank you, Joel, for your comments. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you feel should be mentioned?
The biggest takeaway that I want to have from this interview is it's okay to feel overwhelmed and stressed out. It's normal. And the more that you can recognize the things that are normal and realize that you're going to go through a lot of phases in getting to that new normal in the future, the better off you'll be. You won't be under as much pressure.
Our thanks to Joel Framson for his comments regarding the financial concerns of widows and widowers. As he noted, it's best to have a plan before the inevitable happens, so you might want to schedule a session with your CPA to discuss this topic. We appreciate your listening to CalCPA's Financial Empowerment Program, which was produced in April 2016. If you would like to comment about our show, have a question for a CPA, or would like to suggest topics for future programs, write us at financialempowerment@calcpa.org, or simply visit www.calcpa.org. You can search there for a California CPA who can help you save on taxes, better manage your investments, or budget for those rainy days even sunny California sometimes has. Just click on the Find a CPA link. This is Bill Spaniel, and you've been listening to Edition 185 of Financial Empowerment, a production of the California Society of CPAs and CalCPA Institute.